Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
All right, well, let's pray and we'll get into this. Father, we thank you for tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, your word is a lamp and a light to us. It feeds us. It's food, spiritual food. Father, it brings understanding. It transforms the way we think. Lord, I just pray that by the Holy Spirit, that you would help us, that you'd give me utterance and boldness to speak as I ought to speak. Lord, that we would see truth in your word that we've not seen before. As we're open and receptive, Lord, you're our teacher, that you'd lead us and guide us into all truth and show us your will in your way through your word and by your spirit. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so if you want to go to 1 Corinthians 2, I'm going to start there, but I'm going to read this while you're turning. I want to take the next few sessions here on Wednesday nights to review what the scriptures say we could expect when God moves by his spirit among people. Sometimes churches that allow the Holy Spirit to move in them get a bad rap as being emotional or out of control. They can be labeled as ignorant or uneducated as well. I would argue differently. I would argue that if we as a church are not seeing these demonstrations of the Holy Spirit in our churches, then we have limited Jesus to nothing more than a doorman who opens the door to heaven for those who believe on him. If all we had was heaven when we die, it would be worth it, but I don't see that from the scriptures. I see a God who wants to demonstrate himself here and now, and he is looking for his people, or for a people who will yield to him. If we do not see things that the early church saw, I would argue that Jesus is not moving in our churches or among the people. That would be my argument. We must be careful that in our organization, we do not forget that we are an organism. Right? We are a living church, not a dead church. The Bible actually calls us living stones. You know what the problem with living stones is, right? They can get up and move. That's the problem with them. We have free will. But I would say that even in our organization, we must not forget that we're an organism. So we are to experience all the blessings of being alive as well as being ordered. And sometimes that means throwing the schedule out the door. How many have ever had a schedule before in your natural life? How many, when you planned something with your kids and it didn't quite work out, but you just did something else and had fun anyway? How many have had a car wash and it turned into a water fight? Who do you think you got that idea from? From God. It wasn't from the devil. Some people might think so because they're so strict in their order. They can't break anything. It's 9:15. Don't you know what we do at 9:15? If we don't do this at 9:15, the world won't fall apart. You'll be fine. Well, God's the same way. You know, I think a lot of times we get religious ideas about who God is, and we forget that we're made in his image and in his likeness, and as much as you like to goof around, so does he. You know what I mean? God's not a deadbeat. He's not just a law and a legalism and a form. He has rules and he has ways that he is that are structured, like the tide comes in and goes out at the same time. The sun rises and sets in pretty much the same order. And there's order to things, but he's not in the sense of when Jesus walked the earth, kids loved him. Kids ran up to him. Why? Kids don't run up to stuffy, crabby, angry, bitter religious people. They don't. You know, even Jesus's disciples were like, no, you kids get out of here. He said, no, suffer not the kid. In other words, shut up, let the kids come. That's basically what he was telling his disciples. And what did he do? The Bible says he picked him up and he blessed them. He laid hands on them and blessed them. Why? Because God is fun. He's not all rules, regulations, and hardcore straight lines. You know what I mean? He likes variety. You can just tell that he likes variety and he likes things that aren't always ordered and perfect just by the way creation is. I mean, if God was like most people think God is, he would have three kind of fish, and they would be light gray, medium gray, and dark gray, and they'd all be one size. But does God do that? No. He's like, there's a little itty-bitty fish over there, and there's a whale. Why does he do that? He's trying to give you an understanding of what he's like, okay? Of what he's like. Now, everything we see obviously has been tainted by sin, but you still can get a good grasp on what God is like just from those things, just from his creation. Have you ever seen how many kind of birds there are? I'm friends with somebody on Facebook, and they're always posting these different birds. Man, it is amazing the colors that are in birds. Have you ever seen a hummingbird that actually, they, depending on how you look at them, their feathers change color? Isn't that amazing? I mean, there's no way evolution came up with this stuff. It is too complex. It is too intricate. It is too amazing. You think about your cat at home, if you're blessed with one of those. I might not think you're blessed, but you might be if you like them. Think about that cat, but then think about like a jaguar. I mean, they're both cats. Or a lion. It's amazing what God created and how he created things. He's not boring. He's not stuck in a box. And he likes to move among his people. How many have ever pinned your kid on the floor and tickled him? Where do you think you got that idea? I mean, not some of you, not recently. Maybe your kid pinned you on the floor. I don't know. But you know what I mean? And tickled your kid. And that kid just laughs and laughs. You know, the older you get, it's not as fun. You know, I don't want that to happen. But Ian frequently, he hasn't done it as much lately, but he used to all the time run up and go, tickle me. You know, what kids do that. Why? Because it's funny. When you get older, it's like, ouch, stop it. But when you're young, they like to laugh. They like to goof. Where do you think they got that from? Whose idea was that? Was the devil going, oh, tickle monster? No, that had nothing to do with the devil. That's God, right? And so I want to just look at some different scriptures. And as we do, I want you to realize that God wants to move, and he's still, you know, no matter how old we get on this earth, we're still God's little children. I mean, let's just say you live to be 100. Okay, let's say you live to be 100 years old. If you did that, even if you did, compared to eternity, how old are you? Think about how old Abraham is right now. Now, people think about that and they think, well, he didn't age. You're right, he didn't age. But when was he born in the earth, and how long has he been in existence? Now think about God. God's saying to us, and people think, well, he doesn't really say that to us anymore. Read 1 John. You're still his little children. And compared to God in knowledge, even if you were as close to God as you possibly could be on this earth before you died, you still are, you know, in the first grade or less compared to what God knows and what's going on in eternity. It's the neighbor's sports car. He's trying it out. So you still have that very young mentality, even though, because eternally speaking, man, where's God in comparison to you? I mean, as far as the distance in his knowledge versus yours, it's night and day, right? It's not even close. So in this series, I want to look at places where the Spirit of God manifested and how people responded. I believe this will help dispel some of the myths that have been floated around about the move of the Holy Spirit. No matter how much I teach on this subject, the reality is that some people will never be convinced. I believe there are those people who say they love Jesus, and they probably do, but if he was here on earth today, they would not follow his ministry because the demonstrations of the Holy Spirit of God would offend their natural mind. Come on, think about it. See, we like to read about Jesus. One time I was preaching years ago, and I was preaching on a Sunday morning, and I'm just tearing along through my message. This is back when I yelled a whole lot more, and because I thought it was more anointed. I didn't know any difference. So, but anyway, I was preaching along, and right in the middle of the Lord spoke to me. He said, Sean, a lot of people today would reject me and Smith Wigglesworth in ministry. He said, and I'm talking to you about the ones that say they love both those people. And I'm going, Lord? He said, think about it. Think about what Jesus said. Jesus, the Son of God, is standing before the most religious people of his day, and he says, you who paint the tombs of the prophets and honor them are the ones who murdered them. Oh, why would he say that? They say, oh, if Moses was here, if so-and-so was here, if Abraham, and Jesus said, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced, and they about wigged. They wanted to kill him at every chance. Why? Because the same rebellious, anti-God spirit that was in the men that killed the prophets in the Old Testament was in the men that were standing looking at their Creator. The reality is, we have, the closer you get to God, the more you're challenged in your belief about Him. All right, let me ask you this, since you're all scriptorians. If I brought in water and dirt today and mixed them together and called you forward for healing, would you come? Because Jesus did it. In fact, I'll go one further. Jesus didn't even bring water. He went and spit. Yeah, I'll take the water, somebody says. Can I bring a bottled water? Why? Because most people today go, well, that's not sanitary. Well, that sounds like witchcraft. In most of the churches today, that would be rejected. And they wouldn't be rejecting that minister. Or the spiritual ones, you know what they would do? They would go, well, they're not really being led by the Spirit of God. Right, because Jesus wasn't. Oh, this is so much fun. We're right in the middle of it. Can you feel that wall inside yourself, in your mind? Your mind goes, come on. A mute man walked up to Jesus. The Bible says Jesus spit and touched his tongue and said, be open. See, we like the idea of Jesus here. We like the thought. We like to think, oh, I would put up with that. I could, you know. Do you know this stuff's going on today? Do you know there are miracles like this happening all over the world right now with people who are fully yielded to God and the move of His Spirit? And people say sometimes, you know, they'll say make statements like, well, there's the false out there too. You're right, there is, but that's determined by the heart of the person. It's not determined by what, in other words, God's not going to stop being who He is because there's imitations. He still continues in who He is. He's never stopped. Okay, let's look at some more of this. Let's get into some of this in that way. 1 Corinthians 2:1. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. Paul said this, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of God, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the what? Power of God. Notice he says in verse 4, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but what? In demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That's where I got the demonstrations from. So demonstration, the word demonstration means making something manifest, showing forth, proof. In other words, it's a sign beyond just words. Does that make sense? It's a sign beyond just words or saying something. It's beyond that. So God doesn't want your faith to rest in words alone, but also in sensing and seeing his power in your life. God is real and desires to show himself strong in your life. Go over to Romans 15, and I'll show you some more of this. Romans chapter 15, and verse number 18 is where I'm going to go. Paul again says this, Romans 15, verse number 18. He says, I will dare not speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient. Notice it wasn't just word, it's also what? Deed. And then verse 19, look at the deeds. In mighty what? Signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. So in the declaration of the words of the gospel of Christ concerning those things about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God not only chose through the Apostle Paul to speak words, but what else did he choose to do? He chose to demonstrate the power of his Spirit. Does that make sense? Okay, now I'm going to show you scripturally these demonstrations, but in what we're talking about in some of these demonstrations, it's going to take me a couple weeks to get through them. But what we're going to talk about in seeing these demonstrations is not only that the Spirit of God moved, but also how people responded to the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Okay, because a lot of times, and that's where this picture comes in, people do that in church. I saw that look on Sunday, and nothing really even happened that much. Why? Because I'll be honest with you, most of the church world thinks that Christianity is showing up at the church services and sitting and listening. That's only one part. It's a vital part. It's a good part, okay? You're doing it. Teaching and preaching is good, but you know you can become so swelled in the head by just getting knowledge and getting knowledge and getting knowledge and getting knowledge. Do you know how much knowledge the religious leaders of Jesus' day had? And they missed Jesus. They were so full of knowledge about everything. A lot of them had the first five books of the Bible memorized. They had to. They were so full of knowledge, and yet the one who made them is standing in front of them, and they missed it. But it'd be frustrating, wouldn't it? I mean, talk about God, patience. He could have just fried them all. You know, I'm your maker, and now you're no longer. But he's so patient. And he has a purpose behind what he was doing. But you think about that. All the knowledge they had, and yet they missed God. Boy, I don't want to do that, do you? That's not high on my priority list. I want to be sure that I'm in a place where I'm submitted to the Word and to the Holy Spirit, to where I hear from him and know exactly what he wants and is wanting to do, and then allow him to move the way he wants to move. So Paul says this. Now, if... going back to 1 Corinthians 2:5, in the Amplified, it says this, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, in human philosophy, but in the power of God. See, we don't just want human philosophy. We want the power of God in manifestation. The New Living Translation of 1 Corinthians 2:5 says, I did this so that you might trust the power of God rather than human wisdom. Do you know that a lot of the teaching that goes on in Bible colleges is not about demonstration of God? It's about how to put together a three-point sermon. Do you know in some denominations, and I could call names, but I won't, the preachers don't even prepare sermons. They're prepared by a group that is the head of whatever it is that they're doing, and the preacher just gets up and reads whatever's given to them, and they don't pick a thing. How, can I ask you something? How is any pastor gonna know their people if they're not hearing from the Holy Ghost and sharing what has been given to them by the Spirit of God. People, there are people that attend church every single week that are on their way to hell because they've never been told that they have to be born again. There are people that attend church every single week and they're on their way to hell because they have not received Jesus into their heart. Being a church member does not make you saved. You have to be born again to be a member of the church. Amen? There's no other way but that way. That's the only way in. In the message, it says this, which made it clear that your life of faith is a response to God's power, not some fancy mental or emotional footwork by me or anyone else. In the Passion Translation, he said it this way, the message I preached and how I preached was not an attempt to sway you with persuasive arguments, but to prove to you the almighty power of God's Holy Spirit. I'm telling you right now by the Holy Ghost, we are going to see people radically born again in this city. I'm going to go fishing, and I don't care about pikes or any of them. I'm going to catch me some big suckers too. You going to want to catch with me? Nobody does. I'll find somebody that'll catch with me. No, you do. You want to catch with me, right? All you got to do is just cast that net out there. You ever want to freak out a religious person? They say, I got a neighbor, they go to church all the time. You should just look at him and say, you go to church, right? Yeah. Do you know you can go to church and go to hell? Nobody wants to mention hell anymore. Do you know who preached more about hell than anybody else? Jesus. But that's not politically correct today. You might scare somebody. Well, we'll offer them the good news, but I'll take them scared out too. Jesus will too, right? He will. He is not concerned about people's petty emotion when it comes to eternity. You know, I mentioned this at we had a meeting on Monday with our leaders, and Mark had mentioned something to me about his dad was a pastor. And there was a gentleman that came to the church, and if I screw this up too bad, let me know. He didn't want to get saved, but Mark's dad was after him. You need Jesus, you know? And he was, no, I'm not going to do it. And he's like walking out, and his dad walked up next to him and said, well, let's just go to the altar, and you can tell the Lord why you don't want to be saved right now. So he went to the altar. What do you think happened? Not only saved, but baptized in the Holy Spirit at that moment. See, we need to get that back. We need to get that tenacity back. We need to see people. Boy, I'm off, but I'm on. We need to see people the way Jesus does. You know, every major soul winner that I've ever read about or known about, including Pastor Larry, who's coming, they had visions of people just dumping off into hell by the drove. God showed them. You know why? And there are times in the past, and we're getting back to this. I know Pastor Brett, we've talked about this a couple of times, but he shared with me about different times what the Lord has spoken to him in prayer, because he's a prayer guy. He's got a vein there he's really, really worked in, and he functions there very well. He said to me, he said, Sean, I was praying out and I was thinking, revival, I need a revival. And the Lord said to him, no, you need a reformation. A reformation's different. Do you know what needs to be reformed first? The church. The church. Why? Because when eternal things become more real and more imminent to us, all the petty things that we think we have problems with will just go out the door. We won't even think about, I mean, some of the old time men and women, I'm telling you what, you want to hear, go to, if you like podcasts, go to one called Revival Radio TV. It's put out by Kenneth Copeland. It's actually Dr. Gene Bailey. And all they do is they go back over all the revivals and discuss them. From past to present. I mean, the ones you've never heard of. Like the revivals in Russia. and the revivalists you've never heard of, but yet these men led a million plus people to the Lord in the midst of Joseph Stalin. You want to talk about crazy stuff? Like thrown out for dead and being on a heap of dead bodies for more than a day and everything's frozen, dead bodies piled on top of them, and the revivalist stands up in the middle of it, raised from the dead. And the guards are like freaking out. And more people are born again after that. You want to talk about giving up your life for Christ and giving up your existence for the Lord? There are revivals that have gone on for years and years and years. In fact, there's one that actually Donald Trump's family is tied to, his mom's side, in Scotland, in the Hebrides Islands. And there's a couple islands I found out, by the way. But they had revival on these islands for 100 years straight. No breaks. And it's so ingrained in that culture, the unsaved people have altar every night and read through the Psalms. The unsaved, they're not even saved. They're not even born again, but it's so, the church is so ingrained in the culture. It's so a part of the culture that the dad of the family leads altar every night. And they go through the stories of the scripture and all this thing. But when all this went on, and there's a whole story behind it, but I'll tell you this. There's a testimony about families that got on ships because they had revival in their place and everybody was saved in their area. And they got on ships and they felt like they needed to go to other places. And so they'd get on ships, and this was not like cruise ships. You know, it's not like ships like today. I mean, you get on the ship, there's a good chance you could die in the process. And so they're sailing to these different places. And one man recorded in history where he was on this ship and he was watching these families. And every day these families, there was about five of them, would get together and they would pray, but they would cry together too. And he's like, what are these people crying about? And they would cry and cry and cry. And then this ship made a stop where it had to. And there's a sign on the island, on the dock there, that says, if you get off here, this is your last stop. You're going to die. It was a leper island. A leper colony. You'll never get back. And he was watching these families and they're crying and crying. Then all of a sudden he sees all the men from those families get off the boat and stay. Why? Because the lepers need Jesus. And they separated from their families and never saw them again. Sobering, isn't it? Never saw them again until when? Heaven. I don't know about you, but that's faith. That's faith. Why? I'm never going to see my kids naturally again, but I know I'm going to see you in heaven. That's powerful. That'll get to you. Now, these are not... The facts that I'm sharing are not made up. They're recorded. The revivals that went on in Russia, do you know where they found all that information? In released KGB files. Russia finally released a bunch of KGB files that were in to find out what went on. And these men and women of God that were ministers were called generals of an army. Because why? They're not for the communists, so they're against the state. Come on, you see what I'm saying? And so they label them and mark them and show them as enemies so that why? They can stop what they're doing and destroy them. They would send them literally to a prison called the Peter Paul prison. Nobody ever got out. You're dead. You're in, you're dead. Unless you die and then you're raised from the dead and everybody freaks out and lets you out. Why? They believed God. They had this demonstration of the Spirit in their lives. That's a demonstration. You're going to give up your family. You're going to let them go. So why? Because there's such a fire of God's desire in them that they'll go to a place where is certain death. Isn't that amazing? That's just powerful. Signs and wonders. I know I got off on a little trail there, but it was a good one. Sometimes those help us more than others, than other things. He says this, for God intended that your faith not be established on man's wisdom, but by trusting in his almighty power. The Mirror Bible says, my message was not with persuasive arguments based on secular wisdom, since my aim was not to point people to me, but rather to the powerful, working of the Spirit in them. Mankind's wise schemes of influence could never match the power of God as a reference to your faith. Oh, I love that. Oh, you want another testimony? I'll give you another one. Oh, they're rising in me now. Must be hungry for them. Over in China, there's revival going on. I have a video, a DVD, that shows these revivals that are going on in China. And, you know, talk about, you know, like, for instance, it's warm in here, right? It's hot. Okay, we'll say hot. These Chinese, it's illegal to be a Christian. There are many of them, and these churches are huge. They're not little. They're huge. And they meet in abandoned farms and abandoned caves and all that because they get in trouble if they don't. They have church 7 days a week. There's a church, and I saw a video of it. There's a church that meets in a cave, and the preacher that went there, he showed this video. He literally had, if this is the back of the cave, he had to stand here, and if Kylie came and stood right here, this is how close everybody was to him, packed all the way back to the back. And they meet there at 4 in the morning and have church until 8, and then they all go to work and then go home at night. And he got up to preach, and they said, well, what do you want us to preach on? And they said, everything. And he said, what do you mean? He said, preach the whole Bible. He realized they don't have Bibles. They literally, in some parts, have pieces of the Bible. And they have one Bible, so it's broken up into pieces. And they trade the pieces around and share them with people. There's a video that's circulated on Facebook, and it shows a group of Chinese people that received their own Bible. They open the box. They are all weeping and kissing the book and opening it and looking at it and just weeping over it. Why? It's the Word of God. You know how many Bibles I have? And I use them, buddy. I write in them. I mark them. And I'm thankful for what I have, but you know how many people, you know how many Bibles are sitting in families' homes and nothing's happening? It's just collecting dust. It's just nothing. They never read it. They never look at it. No respect, no reverence for God at all. I mean, we have a culture today that reverences so many things other than God. They live in a world, it's amazing because you'd think if you had the Word of God, and I'm not innocent in this by any means, but you'd think if you had the Word of God that the things of the enemy wouldn't be so appealing and he wouldn't be so able to cause such trouble in the church that he does, but he does. And if he can't get you through fear of persecution, he'll get you through so much fun and enjoyment and pleasures in the earth, you forget about God. We're constantly in this tension of keeping our hearts in this place where we're yielded to him. Because he's constantly on the move. But there are testimonies about the Chinese church. I mean, you want to talk about miracles. I heard this firsthand from a man who was in China. Talked with him, missionary. Firsthand, not secondhand. He was there. He asked a Chinese minister one time, he said, what do you do when you pray for somebody and they don't get healed? And he said, what? The minister said, what? He goes, you know, if somebody's struggling to receive healing, what do you do? He said, we never have anybody not get healed. That just flips your lid, doesn't it? But yet we have accounts in the scripture where Jesus went into a city and healed everybody. How many think God's the problem? I'm going to just admit right now, Lord, I'm the problem. I'm sorry. So don't strike me dead. Just help me figure it out. Because I'm no use to you up there. Right? I'll do something for you here. And that's where our heart has to be, to where the other day I was sitting at, none of this is in my notes. The other day I was sitting in my, truck at Sherwin-Williams, waiting to pick up some material to go to work, to go back to a job. And a guy walked in front of me, and my heart, I was like, oh, this is awesome. I didn't share the Lord with him right then because I didn't feel like I was supposed to. But all of a sudden, I saw that guy the way Jesus says. And I went, oh, he needs you. I read something the other day. I'm reading a book called Evangelism by Fire by Reinhard Bonnke. And he made this statement. He said, the church is not a pleasure boat. It's a rescue boat. He said, we don't need entertainers in the church. We need all hands on deck rescuing people from hell, from certain eternity. You know, sometimes we talk about eternal life and we think, you know, we're talking about like our Christianity and we're saved. We have eternal life. Do you know everybody has eternal life? It's just where you're going to spend it. Everybody has it. You're just going to either spend it in heaven or you're going to spend it in hell. And there's a whole lot of teaching floating around right now that there is no hell. Don't listen to it. It's nonsense. It's garbage. There's a whole lot of teaching running around about universalism. God never sends anybody to, he doesn't. People choose. But your neighbor, you don't know how close someone is. You don't know. I talked about it a few weeks ago. I was sitting at a restaurant with Heidi's cousin, and I led him back to the Lord. He rededicated his life to the Lord. And 6 months later, he was dead. 6 months. He hit a deer on a motorcycle. You don't know. You don't know how close they are. So if you get any window, take it. At least share so that's off your conscience. Does that make sense? And we're going to get so many opportunities. I mean, I'm believing God for opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. Why? Because I don't want anybody. This was the point that Jesus, why he died. So we could go back to him. Not so that we could just have, you know, our own security or our own natural comforts met. There's something more important than that. I talked to a pastor friend of mine in Tulsa, Oklahoma today, and he said, Sean, what's coming? He said, I'm buying more chairs for my church. He said, not because it's full right now, but because we're having harvest. I'm going, yeah, buddy. Next, we're buying more chairs. Why? He said, we need air conditioners. Yeah, praise the Lord. We'll get it all. Why? Because people need Jesus. We don't need another entertaining message. We need a reformation of heart in the church, not just in the preachers. The preachers need it too. I mean, Heidi and I were talking about it today. I need it in areas.
We were praying the other day in leadership, and I'm up here at the front kneeling, praying right here, praying in the spirit, praying in English, and getting it done. And the Lord is dealing with me about areas of my own soul, my own heart that are messed up that I got to get right. And it's not major things. It's little things. And I cannot have it in me. I will not have it in me. Why? Because there is any man who competes has to compete according to the rules. And natural men compete according to the rules that they may win a perishable prize. I'm not after anything perishable. I'm after something imperishable. And people say, what is the prize? Is it the crown? What is the crown? The crown is you. You say, what do you mean it's you? It's the people. The crown, you know, people talk about a soul winner's crown, and I believe there's probably really one, you know, that's made of whatever and precious stones and all that stuff. But what's the precious thing in heaven? The people. It isn't the gems. It isn't the gold. It isn't any of those things. That is not the precious thing. The precious thing is the people. The souls of men. Why? Because God cares way more about those and his creation in them. Everything else is secondary. Listen to me. The angels are secondary to us. The angels are secondary to me. Why? Because I'm his son. And he told me that I would judge angels one day. So if I'm a judge over them, I got to be higher up on the food chain. Right? You say, what's the purpose of this? I don't know, because I'm not on my notes at all. I know what the purpose is. Right now, if you're listening, that anointing that God is working is he's trying to get in you about this. The Holy Spirit is going, hey, wake up. There's people around you. Get the passion back that you had before. Get past all the stuff that's going on around you, the dirt, the muck, the things that are going on, the stuff that the enemy's trying to do to distract you, and get back to souls. And the Lord's saying, look, if you get after my stuff, I'll get after yours. Does that make sense? He's saying, if you build my kingdom, I'll build whatever you need in your life. I'll take care of it. I'll make sure the bills are taken care of. I'll make sure your family's taken care of. You just get after me. You get close to me, I'll get you the job you need. I'll put you in the place where you're supposed to be. You just get back with me. You go back to your prayer closet. You get down on your face before the Lord and you say, Lord, show me, teach me, reveal to me. I'm going to sit here until I get my fire back. My passion back. Eventually, I know this happened for me and Heidi too, in different areas in our life. There are things that are going to happen to you, and they're going to happen. Nothing is going to stop the world from being the world, but don't let the world get in you. If you got a hurt in your life, get in there in your prayer closet and look at that hurt and get with the Lord until the great physician heals it completely. And don't move from that spot until it gets healed. You understand what I'm saying? If you've experienced an abuse from a parent, or if you've experienced a divorce, or you've experienced any of these things, and there's just a hint of something in there, get in there with the Lord and go, Lord, okay, here's the tools. Here's the surgical tools. And the Lord said, now we're going to go after this thing, and you're committed, right? And you go, yes, Lord, let's do it. Why? Because if you don't, it'll hinder his ability to use you. It'll become a hindrance. And then the Spirit of God will go, no, 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 I need in there more. And you go, that hurts like the dickens, but go ahead, because I know healing's coming. And God really has us as a church. I don't know about other churches because I can't speak for them. He's got me here. He's got me in this place. Sean, you can't have that no more. This will help you understand this. In the spirit. Have you ever done this in the natural? Have you ever opened a closet and dug deep that you've stored thing in for years?
You get back in there, you go, huh, that's where that is. I bought four more of those because I lost it. I thought something happened to it. Did you know, as humans, we can do that in our soul? Well, I don't want to talk about it. Well, I'm not asking you to get up and testify about it. But you better let the Lord get in there and talk to you about it. Because you don't want it to fester. You don't want it to fester. Let's say it's a hurt. Let's say it's a forgiveness issue. Do you know there's myths about forgiveness? One of the myths is that if you forgive somebody that's really hurt you, you have to then be in relationship with them still. No, that's not true. You don't have to. Forgiveness and trust are two different things. You know what? Love and trust are two different things. Do you know what love is? Love is given freely. I love you with the love of the Lord. I love you. I have nothing in my heart against you. And they go, you want to hang out? And you go, well, sorry, we don't trust each other. Well, how can you love me? And that sounds just like a manipulator, doesn't it? You say, how do you know this? Walked through it. Walked through it. But you don't want any residue of anybody else's poison around you. Because what'll happen is it'll end up affecting your relationship with the Lord. Does that make sense? So you have to get that thing and clean that closet out and get it all out of the way and then go, Lord, okay, I'm here. Let's do this right. And then the Spirit of God will begin to fill the spots that are now open. Come on, Isaac redug the wells. Why? Because the Philistines had come and thrown rocks and dirt and all sorts of stuff inside the wells. Why? Because they were jealous of him. The enemy tries to do that. You'll be going in a direction with the Lord and things will be going good and you'll dig a well over here and you'll dig a well over there and all of a sudden you've got four or five wells that you're drinking out of spiritually and it's amazing and God's moving in your life and then you notice there's an enemy and then you're chasing another enemy over here and then there's five things going on all of a sudden. Then you come back to your wells and you look, oh, four of them are filled with rocks and dirt. What happened? Dig them out. Let the Lord in. Let him get the hard stuff out. Well, what if they never apologize? Then they won't. Well, it's not fair. You're right. It's not. But forgiveness has nothing to do with fairness. It doesn't. It's a decision. But you know what? There is no that the resurrection of Jesus has not already conquered. And God heals so well, it'll be like it never happened. You'll be completely free. You'll be delivered. You'll be able to look at the person or the situation or the problems or whatever it is that supposedly we're going to take you over, and you'll be able to smile and genuinely look at people and go, bless you. And go on. Why? Because you're not doing it in your power. You're doing it in his. You're doing it in his. I can't lose if I'm with the one who already won everything. And you'll wake up in the morning and go, it's another day. Praise the Lord. Let's get it done. Why? I don't have any unforgiveness in me. The hurts are gone. You know you have to do this. The enemy will come tell you. He'll come sit on your shoulder and he'll say, remember what God said to you, and none of it's happened. I mean, look where you're further away from it now than you've ever been. And that is the perfect opportunity for you to rise up and say, I walk by faith, not by sight. What I can't see, God's working in the unseen. I'm going to stand strong until I see it all the way. You know that it's some of that grit that our culture today has lost some of it. That idea of never quitting.
You know, the grit thing of where somebody was, I don't know if it, I think it was Heidi on Sunday, was saying a lot of people quit right before the blessing hits. Years ago, I saw this. I've seen it on Facebook, actually, but I saw a cartoon. And it shows a guy with a, he's mining in the ground, and he's got a pickaxe. And it shows him turned around and like this. And it shows if he would have swung three more times, there's a ton of diamonds just right behind the. A lot of times that's what the enemy does. Just realize this. It always gets worse right before it's about to break through. But breakthrough, buddy, I'm telling you what. Breakthrough, I'll take it. Because see, once you've accessed that, then the enemy has to backtrack a long ways. And your progress all of a sudden accelerates. And you go, the disciples are multiplying around here. Why? Because we didn't give up, we didn't quit, we didn't roll over. We stayed after it. We stayed after it. We prayed through. We stuck with God. We got in our prayer closet. We took time with Him. We made, on purpose, we decided God or nothing. But what if my family hates me? God or nothing. But what if they abandon me? God or nothing. I've got nothing but God. My option is God, period. Yeah, but they're gonna think this about you or they're gonna think that about you. God or nothing. And in the long run, what's it gonna matter anyway? Heaven's a long time. I would rather have my personal family hate me. This is not an issue. But I would rather have my personal family hate me than have to stand before God and say, I chose their approval over you. I won't do that. I won't do it. Yeah, but what if you're, you know, and the enemy loves this. He loves this what if world. Have you ever noticed? Don't play in that arena. Just get rid of it altogether. Just say, nope, God or nothing. And I'll have God. And God's faithful. He always watches over His word and performs it. So devil, just sit tight. You're going to get a tail whipping here shortly. You're going to see what I saw all along, that you can't because you don't have faith, but I do. You can't have faith because you're a fear devil. You're a natural flesh devil. You do everything over here. You can't have faith. You can't see what God is doing, but I can because I'm His child. And the position you once held in the area of worship around the throne, you don't get anymore. But guess what? I've been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And ha-ha, devil, you screwed up and never can get redeemed. I screwed up and Jesus died for me. So as Jesse Duplantis says, up your nose with a rubber hose. I don't know what it means. But the devil deserves it. Does that make sense? And I don't know who this is for, but take it. Because my notes, I had 13 pages of them. I got partway through three. And I didn't even hit the subject we were supposed to be talking about. But I did talk about the Holy Spirit interrupting our schedules and our organization. So He effectively did that. And I'm okay with that. It doesn't bother me. You know, for the meetings that are coming up on Saturday and Sunday, come expecting. Come, you know, I've done this more than once. Years ago, I did this. There were times I'd be in meeting. One time I was in a meeting with Rodney Howard Brown, and they were good meetings. They went on for like 8 days. They were excellent meetings. And I was, every night was good, and I was getting good stuff from God through the whole thing. Do you know I never show up to church without expectation? I don't care who's speaking. I don't care who it is. I will amen them and yes and glory to God and come on and go ahead. Why? Because I got to keep myself open because they're going to say something by the Spirit of God. It's going to change my life. Whether I agree with them all the way or not, it doesn't make any difference. Plus, you reap what you sow. And I like it when people listen when I preach. Because I was a youth pastor for years, and you never know what you were going to get with youth. I mean, it was hit or miss. You either had a, whoa, what happened? You felt like somebody punched you in the face the whole time while you were preaching. Or you had a landslide. And usually the landslide were few and far between. Anyway, I was in a meeting, and this was Rodney Howard Brown's meetings, and it was the last night of the meetings. And I was at my house, and I was getting dressed, and I had my, this is back more when we wore suits and jackets and ties and all that. So I had my suit on, and I put my tie on, and I was looking at the mirror, and I'm adjusting my tie. And I just said, Lord, I just said out loud to him, I'm thankful for everything that's happened. I said, thank you for everything you've shown me. I said, and I'm talking to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I said, if everything has happened up to this point and you don't have anything else for me in this service, in these services, I said, I'm thankful for it. But I said, I'm open to more if you have something for me. Whatever it is, little did I know. You know, if you say that, let me just help you with something. Chances are, your flesh is going to get embarrassed by what happens. Not always. But I'll tell you what. I've had some things happen to me and I went, you know, you become the talk of the church. People look at you like that. But you know, they radically changed my life. You say, what happened? You have to come next week. No, I'm just kidding. Like, what? Heidi and I were sitting there, and was that the beginning of the service, or when was it, the end? I don't know. But he's standing there. If you've ever seen Rodney Howard Brown, he's standing. Of course, he lost a bunch of weight, so he doesn't look like what he used to. But he's standing there, and he goes, I'm telling you. He said, the fire of God's in this place. And then he goes, you two. And guess who he points to? Me and Heidi. Now let me help you with something. Nobody was standing. Nobody was praising and worshiping. There were no people in the altar receiving prayer. It was very silent in the church. And he said, you two come up front. Do you know how much my flesh likes that? Oh, good. We get to stand up in front of everybody while he says something to us. You have to get past your flesh. Your flesh is full of pride. It's full of stuff that God is not excited about. Why? Because it's got a fallen nature. But if you let it, it will dominate you. And you will miss God. Side note here, Pastor Larry broke pride in his church in Glendive by having people dance with fake trees. Well, that's not very biblical. It was when the Spirit of God broke out and those people got rid of their pride, and now tons of them are serving God, and they've got another 3+ churches and more on the way. Why? Because people sold out their lives to God. Why? Because they didn't have pride in their life about dancing with some stupid bush. It'd be like if I walked over you and said, you got to dance with this. But if you do, and you wear it on your head, your pride will break, and the Spirit of God will come on you, and you'll be a different person. Yeah, I'm not from that country. Do you get what I'm at here? Do you get what the Lord's after here? Well, we don't do it that way. Well, what way is right? Well, we don't heal by spitting in the dirt. I bet you the blind guy didn't care. I bet you he didn't care. You say, why are you leaving that up there? Because you keep looking at me. I've got your attention. And it's good for me because it's annoying. And it's embarrassing. But it's good for my flesh. So he called us out. And he had us come stand right in the front. And he just went, fire, like that. And I'm telling you, I hit the ground. And it was like a ball of electricity was on the inside of me. Like a ball of electricity. And it didn't hurt. I wouldn't call it hurt. But I was like, oh, and I'm going, Heidi's like, you know, she's proper and pretty and, you know, stuff like that. And I'm on the ground going, you know, because it felt like the wind got sucked out of me. Have you ever been punched in the stomach and had the wind knocked out of you? I'm not putting the plant down, so don't even think about it. So, I literally turned around, and this church is on a slope. Do you know what I mean by that? So it slopes down to where the altar area is. And I'm thinking, I got to get to my chair. I got to get out of here. That's what I'm thinking. I got to get away from him. It's literally what I'm thinking. Because it's like, you know, there's nobody's laughing in the crowd. Nobody's singing. There's no distractions. The lights are all on. You know, it wasn't like church when they turned all the lights off and nobody could see who was making the noise. It was me. And I'm trying to crawl to my seat. I'm trying to crawl to my seat. Why? Because I got to get back to that seat because I do not know what's wrong with me. And lo and behold, he looks at his ushers and says, grab him. Oh, great. And I'm trying to crawl, but I can't because the power of God's on me and I've kind of lost a little bit of mobility. You know what I mean? You're kind of in that daze, so to speak. And they pick me up and they lay hands on me again and bam, I hit the ground. I think both of us. And I hit the ground and he stands and I hear this. I hear this. People say, what? He goes, some of you are saying, what's going on? He goes, I don't know, but it has to do with his ministry. In other words, when I stood before that mirror and I said, God, if there's anything else, go ahead. Go ahead. You better know what you're saying when you say go ahead. Because you may end up dancing with a tree or a bush on your head. Or on the ground going, what just happened? And I didn't even get into the scriptures where I can prove to you that that's biblical. But I've got like 20 of them. Yeah, I know, right? It's 8:04. We can go till 9:04. Good. Pastor Brett, you're on. Let's see how much you know. How full are you? You say, what is your point in this? When you come to those services, be open. Your healing may manifest. Come on. Your friend that you bring who's on depressants and suicidal may get set free in a heartbeat and never have to be on those antidepressants again. Your family that has been in disruption and been in discord, it may get straightened in a millisecond. Why? Because the Spirit of God is moving and people are not full of pride. They got their pride out of the way. They'll wear a bush on top of their head. They'll dance with a tree. Why? Any Lord, what do you want me to do? Father, spit in the dirt and make the mud. I just want to see. Does that make sense? Because that's where we're at. Who do you know? Who do you have contact with? What is the level that you're willing to go to receive the fullness of what God has purchased for you? Because to the degree that you have a no to him will be to the degree that you don't experience the freedom he has for you. Amen? Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for tonight. Lord, we'll take this and meditate on it, but we believe you for miraculous things to happen this weekend and in our lives and even tomorrow and tonight as we move forward. Father, we don't want any pride in our lives at all. So we lay down our own, we lay down everything that is preconceived in our mind and we say you have your way according to your word and your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So you never know what you may see me do on Saturday and Sunday. Think about it. What did David say? Do you remember he came into Jerusalem dancing because the presence of God came back? What did his wife say to him? You look like a fool. And what did he say? I'll be even more undignified than this. You should look up the word undignified. It's biblical. It's biblical. Amen? God bless you guys.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.